take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. It is my duty tonight to read to you a statement from our presbytery. This statement is being read in all our churches today and was passed unanimously at our presbytery meeting on Friday night. At a meeting of over 200 ministers and elders gathered in Dungannon on the 18th of January 2008, the General Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church paid tribute to Dr. Paisley and Dr. Douglas, both of whom were stepping down from official positions within the presbytery. The members expressed thanks to God for the gifts with which He had blessed both Dr. Paisley and Dr. Douglas, and for their diligence in employing those gifts for the benefit of our various congregations. The Reverend Ron Johnson was elected as the new moderator. Brethren elected to other posts included the Reverend Ian Brown as clerk of presbytery, Dr. Lindsay Wilson as deputy moderator, and the Reverend Timothy Nelson as minute secretary. The following resolution was unanimously adopted. The ministers and elders of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster wish to put on record the great debt of gratitude owed to Dr. Paisley for his sacrificial labors in position of moderator, both in the commencement and consolidation of the Free Presbyterian witness. Under his leadership, the Church's work and witness has spread throughout Ulster and to many parts of the world. His evangelistic zeal, his passion for souls, his vision to establish a Presbyterian Church that would stand for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in a day of departure from biblical faith, and his dedication to the glory of God have been an inspiration to us all. At this time of transition within our presbytery, we commit ourselves to be faithful to pursuing the vision that the Lord, through Dr. Paisley, Dr. Douglas, and other faithful men, have set before us. We have therefore, as a presbytery, rededicated ourselves to the Protestant Reformed Evangelical faith and the distinctive principles and practice of the Free Presbyterian Church. We are unashamedly Protestant. We follow in the footsteps of the Reformers. The free in our name refers to our total dissociation from those major Presbyterian denominations of the world which have repudiated the historic Christian faith. We reject the false teachings of ecumenism, Roman Catholicism, modernism, and the charismatic movement. As a denomination, we are determined to remain firmly standing without compromise for Christ and to vigorously oppose any betrayal of His gospel and departure from the biblical faith. This full resolution will appear in the next issue of our Revivalist. Of course, the enemy was at work last night, and our church in Armagh, which is the church of the minister, the new moderator of our church, was attacked. And huge protest banners were mounted, at least 15 feet high, attached to the church. building by approximately 20 large screws. The first one proclaimed, judgment must begin in the house of Ron. And then a stroke across the word Ron, and God was at it. And then opposite that, there was another huge sign positioned. It was 5 feet by 4, and it stated this, look unto Jesus, not to Ronald, the new Protestant Pope. These are the actions of people who claim that they're standing for God and for righteousness and for the truth. I know that tonight we as a church will continue to pray for our brother. For I am sure that this is not the first act that will take place, but that all our churches will be under such attacks. So we need to pray for our ministers and their wives and their family. The degree of unanimity obvious at Presbytery on Friday past was most encouraging. May it long continue through God and by His grace. Let us go forward together and do valiantly for His name and cause and blessing. And may God defend the right. Amen. So I trust you will keep in prayer that God will overrule for the honor and for the glory of His great name. Of course, a poisonous press will take every encouragement with those that want to attack us at this time. So we should bear up our hearts together, because we are told from the Savior that those of us who are maligned, those of us who are reviled, we have to rejoice exceedingly, because great is our reward in heaven. So put a smile on your face. Put a strength into your feet and go out rejoicing that Jesus says we are to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. If you have your Bible, I'd like you to open it at the last chapter of the book of the Acts. The sect everywhere spoken against. Verse 22 of this 28th chapter. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Could I remind you that the last chapters of the books of the Bible are all doctrinally intriguing and emphatically challenging. And you should read the last chapter of Genesis with the last chapter of Exodus. And you should read the last chapter of Exodus with the last chapter of the next book of the Pentateuch, Leviticus. And you should read the last chapter of Leviticus with the last chapter of the book of Numbers. And you should read the last chapter of the book of Numbers with the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And you'll find something there is a direct attachment to the last chapters of all the books in the Bible. Now, some of you may not see the relationship, but if you'd get a good pair of spectacles and some concentration between your ears, then suddenly the sun will shine and you'll say, why did I not notice that before? I want to take up this last chapter tonight of the book of Acts. This chapter tells and unfolds the wonderful journey that God gave to his servant Paul in order that he might reach the great metropolis of Rome. He had a desire. He told the Roman Christians, he had a desire to preach the gospel to them at Rome also. And so he did. But how was this poor man beaten where he preached the gospel, imprisoned where he preached the gospel, left hungry where he preached the gospel? How was he going to get all the way from Judea, where he was at the time he left, right to Rome? Who was going to pay the expenses? Who was going to provide him with the opportunity? But God knows how to provide for his preachers. So God not only arranged for him to get to Rome, but arranged a series of boats. I know one of them sank, but that wasn't the purpose as well. God arranged it all. And he sent him a centurion. Who is a centurion? A centurion is a Roman officer that had 100 men over him, under him, to control. He sent a centurion with him all the way to bring him safely to Rome. So Paul was a VIP. The Lord put a label on him and put on, this man is going to Rome, and that man got to Rome. Now, as I said, he had many trials and difficulties by the way. And in fact, the whole ship was wrecked and all the people lost their ship, but they didn't lose one life because God had purposed this to happen. And he arrives here in this last chapter of Acts. The old life of preaching that he has done since he was converted is now over. He's starting a new ministry. But every step in that ministry is bringing him to the darkness of his own execution. And yet his heart is filled and thrilled with the power of God. Open the book at this 28th chapter of Acts. And look with me at verse 16. And you'll find out that when he came to Rome, the centurion, he's still there. He was with him all the way. The centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself and with a soldier that kept him. So here we have the special arrangements, the unique preaching house in Caesar's Rome, supplied for the Apostle Paul. to do the work that God had planned him to do. So God provided him the unique preaching house in Caesar's Rome. So much so, we can say his cry in the first chapter of Romans has been answered. So as much as is in me lieth, I am ready to preach the gospel at Rome also. And so he got to Rome for the preaching of the gospel. The preaching house was already there. It was available for the preaching of the glorious gospel of Christ. When God does his job, he does it well. And if you look at me at verse 16, you'll find that the preacher had a servant, and the servant was a soldier. So a Roman soldier looked after God's servant in order that God's servant might do God's will and God's work. God knows what he's doing. If people would keep their hands off God's work and keep on their knees for God's work, then we would see miracles happen as they happened here. And then if you look with me at verse 23, you find that people came to his lodging. God drew the people. It doesn't read that he went down to the Roman Telegraph and put in an advert and said, come and hear the Apostle Paul preach in a house on Sandy Row Avenue. He didn't do that. No, God brought the people. Why? Because all this was of the Lord. And did it last for a few days? No, it lasted for 2 years. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, verse 30, and received all that came in unto him. So here we have the apostle and his preaching house. This was a spectacle that was filled with sublimity. History has few stranger contrasts than when it shows us Paul preaching under the walls of Nero's palace. Think of it. That God took this prisoner, this despised man, this beaten man, this rejected man, and he put him to Rome and under the very walls of old Caesar Nero's palace, he preached the gospel. How wonderful it is. But notice not only the sublimity of this spectacle, but the reality of this work. The testimony of the great apostle that his bonds became manifest in Christ through the whole of the Praetorian Guard and to all the rest. Philippians 1 verse 13. There was something happened. The waters were stirred up. People were talking and saying, did you hear about that prisoner that came in the other day from Jerusalem? Did you hear he's preaching? Did you hear people are getting converted to the faith of Jesus? And then notice also about it, the immortality of this preacher. This preacher preached for 2 years. We don't know what happened in those 2 years, nor we don't know how soon after those 2 years saw the apostle ready to offer his head on the gibbet. But this we know, that those that shine as the brightness of the firmament shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forevermore. So we know that Paul turned many to righteousness. But notice, secondly, this was an unctionized prisoner preacher. The world didn't know when Paul arrived in Rome what the happening would be. They didn't think that one Jewish prisoner would stir the heart of that whole metropolis. They didn't know that the Jews in the great city of Rome were getting their last chance to close with Christ freely offered in the gospel. For the gospel is to the Jews first, and the remaining Jews, exiled in Rome, had the opportunity. A very wonderful opportunity to hear the gospel. The preacher was Saul of Tarsus, otherwise Paul the Apostle. Did he succeed? He certainly did. You'll notice that the people came of the drawing of the Spirit. Verse 22, we desire to hear of thee. They came knocking on the door of the house to hear. And what a stir was in that house as Paul preached to them. What was this strange power that Paul had? I'll tell you what it was. Paul was preaching as a dying man to dying men. The Lord had showed him that he was going to die. The Lord had showed him that his work was done. The Lord had showed him that his day of preaching was nearing the end. So he preached with the shadow of the executioner's axe shadowing his head. He knew that axe was going to fall. When I was in Rome, I went to one of the prison houses where the Apostle Paul and others had been locked away. The whole prison was underground. Those cells never ever saw the light of day. They were in perpetual darkness. And no light, no proper sanitary arrangements, no escape from the rats that ran about them, that ate the bodies of those prisoners not able to resist. And yet that man of God wrote something from that dark cell. Rejoice! And again, I say rejoice. So here we had a man of man, the Blessed Apostle Paul, what a man he was. Notice these people were not complimentary of the church. And if you look with me, you will find what they said about the church. As concerning this sect, verse 22, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. The church is not in the world to be patronized or to be praised. It's in the world to be persecuted. And the church has always been a persecuted church. And here in this wonderful story, we see the man of God standing for gospel truth and preaching gospel salvation. The simple gospel of the Word of God. It wasn't the gospel of the church he preached. He didn't mention the sacraments, baptism, confession, or anything else. All it was a gospel of grace. That you were saved not by doing anything, because Jesus had done everything that had to be done. Salvation completed by the death of the Son of God. It wasn't the gospel of good works, for no good work can save a man from hell. It wasn't the gospel of human efforts, for the efforts of man cannot bring life to a soul. But wasn't it strange that amidst the darkness of that terrible imprisonment for Paul, there was a message of the preacher. And that preaching was powerful preaching. It awakened people. It alarmed people. It arrested people. It attracted people. It attached people. It made people to arise. And it also made them to achieve. And the worst sinners of that city became converted sinners through the power of Christ's preaching from the lips of the great apostle. But notice, the preacher gives a very strong warning. And before these people who argued about what he preached, he said, I'm going to speak one word to you. You'll find in verse 25. What was that word? That word was this: my spirit shall not always strive with man. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And he pointed out, the hearers that they were getting one invitation. It was the last time that the Jewish people would be addressed as Jews to trust in Christ. And he said, the opportunity is passing away. The heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their hearts, and understand with their hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, that I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. What an indictment. You Jews, who have had the privilege to respond, are not going to hear it anymore. I'm turning, according to the commandment of my Savior, to offer it to the Gentiles. They will not argue like you about it. They will accept it and praise God for it. So the Jewish economy passed. The Jewish nation was forsaken. And the Gentiles saw the glory. For in me, said the prophet, the Gentiles shall trust. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of the Gentile nations rather than the King of the Jews. There was unresponsiveness to his preaching. Every time a preacher preaches, there are people who do not respond. Every time the gospel is offered, there are those who reason among themselves. But every time the gospel is offered, the glory of the gospel makes converts. And so we read that Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the church. No. Which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. No man forbidding it. What a glorious ending chapter to the preaching of this man who walked from the dark dungeon out into the broad daylight, put his head down and said, I am now ready to depart. And by the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of life, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but also unto all them that love his appearing. There is a bright, shining spirit at the throne tonight. It is the spirit of the Apostle Paul. And what a man he was. What a missionary he was. What a preacher he was. What a sufferer he was for Jesus' sake. May God help us to follow in his train. And to be faithful unto death. And Christ will give us that mighty spirit of life. And if you're in this meeting tonight, this could be the last time you're ever going to hear the gospel call. This could be the last time it will enter your ears or your heart. I would urge you to seek the Lord while he may be found. And call upon him while he is near. And Jesus will hear you. And you will know what it is to receive the pardon. As the Apostle Paul said, that as a sinner, he heard the gospel. He received the gospel. He believed the gospel. And he was saved. By the gospel. May that be true of you and me forevermore. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. And we pray that thou wouldst bless thy word to our hearts. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with us all, now and forevermore. And the people of God said, Amen. If there's someone here anxious about these things that I have been preaching on, I'm here your servant for Jesus' sake. I'd be in this hall just here in the Kirk Session Room immediately after the service. I'd be glad to talk with you, to pray to you, with you, and to show you the simplicity of how you can be saved, not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. God bless you.